We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Last night, I received an email, and the heading of the email simply said, "Urgent Prayer." And it's from a pastor who I know very well, so I can trust the credibility of this prayer request. And this came to me late in the evening. "Dear Ryan, this email is regarding a young lady who is a college student in the country of Laos. She is an orphan. She has been paying her way through college by selling herself. Several of our older high school girls in one of our homes has built a friendship with her. They have rescued her now out of the hands of those who are enslaving her. The last week, she gave herself to Christ. Those she was enslaved by have found her and beat her. She was able to escape the abuser that beat her, but she was hurt. She is now in the hospital being checked out, concerned that there may be internal bleeding. Please pray for her healing, physically, emotionally, and mentally. Pray for her future protection and those who are serving her. She is being brought into one of our pastor's homes. Those who beat her have been arrested. I committed this morning the funds that will be needed to help her. If you would like to be a part of helping to meet her needs, please let me know." I received this last night. Laos. The night before that, I received from another pastor friend of mine in Israel, where I go and minister, a similar account of a woman who was sold into trafficking. And I looked at my wife last night, and I was just exasperated. I was like, "Duh! I mean, what do you do? I'm not in Laos. I'm not in Israel." And I said, "Well, God brought these needs before us. Let's pray." And then I said, "Honey, the thing that we need to do is we need to fund it." You remember last night I had mentioned to you that worship is more than a song. And we looked at the scripture. We looked at what it had to say in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. I took you to another passage of scripture, and I shared with you what worship is. It is praising God with our lips, but it is also using the gift that he has given us, called our life, to minister to others. That's a form of worship. And so I want to remind you, in regards to the needs that are around you, I want you to think a moment, what would it be like for us to live with an open mind, an open heart, and an open hand when it comes time to worshiping? Worship is more than a song. It's a posture and it's an attitude in which we live. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we get a picture of that. Now, if you have your Bibles, I again would encourage you to turn there. Look at the passage of Scripture. For some of you, it might be a very familiar passage of Scripture, and that's a good thing, but that could also be a very bad thing, because when Scripture becomes so familiar that it loses its cutting edge and you fail to heed to what it says, that's a bad thing. So here's what the Scripture says. "Now I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart," open heart, "not grudgingly or under compulsion." Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And remember, we give in the same manner in which God gave, because we are to reflect him. Scripture goes on to say, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, this is what I really like. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving. There is a type of teaching out there that is a very poor teaching. It's called a gospel prosperity that has this mindset that I give to get. And that is a sad indictment on anyone who calls themselves to be a believer of Jesus Christ, that you give to get. You see, you give to others, you get from God so that you can give again. You get from God so you can give again. If you stop the giving, you ain't going to be getting. And I want to reflect my Heavenly Father, and the Lord just impressed upon me, help this young woman, help the other young woman, so much so that Marianne and I have endeavored to live in this posture ever since we've been married and when I became a believer as a teenager. So if I look at this and I really want to worship God, I need to recognize what true worshipers do by giving generously or living generously. Note this, that generosity rarely produces poverty. I live in a home where my dad used to bring home the homeless people and the drunk people and didn't have cell phones back in the day. And my mom would be unaware of who my dad might be bringing home. And sometimes it would be nobody. And sometimes there would be somebody. And this was my mom's posture. I just loved it. Ready? Add a plate, cut the portion in half. There's always enough to go around. Add a plate, cut the portion in half. There's always enough to go around. And at my table, there were times when we ate bologna because we couldn't afford anything else, and there were times when we ate filet mignon. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. But whether it was bologna or filet mignon, the philosophy was, add another plate, cut the portion in half, there's always enough to go around. And I never went hungry. Generosity rarely produces poverty. Secondly, the measure in which you give based upon this passage of Scripture is generally the measure in which you will receive. Some people wonder why they don't receive blessings from the Lord to be able to share with others. It's probably because they're stingy. There's two Yiddish words. Yiddish is Hebrew and Polish, or it could be Hebrew and German. I want to teach you two Yiddish words. The first one is mooch. I guess you know what a mooch is, right? Always looking out for yourself and what you can get, not concerned with others. The second is a noble word, and it is mensch. Say it with me. Mensch. Like bench, but it's mensch. And here's what a mensch is. He looks for opportunities to advance others, not himself. And if we're really going to worship God, please don't sing a song and be a mooch. Sing a song and be a mensch. A man once walked into a rabbi's office, and the rabbi knew the problem with this man. He was a mooch, and the rabbi took him to a window, and he said, I want you to look out this window onto this street and tell me what you see. And he said, well, I see people going to and fro. He said, oh, you're very observant. He then took him away from the window, and he stood him before a mirror, and he said, well, what do you see? And he said, all I see is myself. And he says, aha. The difference between the window and the mirror is that it was backed with silver, which made the reflection. And no sooner than we see silver, we see ourselves and our own needs instead of looking through it clearly to the needs of others. We need to be mensches and not mooches. When revival comes, when we are living in this fresh posture, we live. Do you remember the woman that we met at the well? She wasn't going to keep this thing for herself. What did she do? She went back and she said, let me tell you about another who had seen everything in my life, who said I can receive living water from him. Thirdly, according to this passage of Scripture, and I believe God's word to be true, God will always make you prosperous enough to give to others. We believe that all of our giving to God is out of faith, But there are different levels of giving, I personally believe. You can give faith giving, but you can also give a sacrificial gift. And this past December, God really just put Marianne and I to the test. He said, I want you to step out in such a way that you have to trust me and you can trust nobody else. And I'd been praying and I was fasting, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want? He said, I want you to give your entire month's salary away for December. I said, okay. And I want you to do it before you ever get it. Okay. So we took the necessary steps to be able to do that, and we gave away our entire month's salary, not knowing if the month's needs were going to be met. The first day that we gave it away, unbeknownst to us, a man thousands of miles away in Texas happened to send the dollar amount for what we had given away. And God said, I want you to do it again. I can tell you story after story of us being tested in this way. I would never ask somebody to do something that we haven't done ourselves. But you'll never know the exorbitant love that God has for you if you really don't step out in faith and test into these things. Now, I'm not telling you to do what we did. God told us to do that. Nobody else told us to do that. You have to pray. You have to seek the Lord. But when needs are brought before us, how do we respond? God will always make you prosperous to give to others. So here's how we continue to worship God. Your life in action. True worshipers live generously, showing goodness to others by being open-minded, open-handed, and open-hearted with the resources that have been trusted to them. You recognize that everything that you have did not begin with you. Where'd you get the strength? Where'd you get the brain? Where'd you get the opportunity? How'd you make the connection? Who gave you the connection? God. 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 It all began with God. Who owns it all? God. It didn't originate with you. It's His. We're nothing other than managers of His resources. What would it look like tonight if collectively Faith Baptist Church really endeavored to posture itself by worshiping God in such a manner that there was an open mind, open heart, open hand, and when we saw the needs brought before us, we simply gave. That's worship. Because we have no one else to depend upon but God. That's what worshipers do. I just want to ask God to solidify this truth. Would you just bow your heads with me? And I'm going to ask you if you would feel comfortable enough to simply just pray this prayer. God, would you give me an open mind, an open heart, and an open hand? Would you be willing to pray, God, help me be sensitive to the needs that are around me? God, help me worship you, not just with my lips, but with my life. Father, thank you again for the truth of your word. I pray, dear Father, that we would honor you through obedience. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives, and that people would look at us and they would ask questions, why do you do this? And we would simply have the opportunity to show them Christ. Amen. I want to take a moment and do one other thing tonight as we're worshiping. When you came in, you should have received a piece of paper simply entitled, Dear Life Action. Another form of worship is by journaling. How many of you have been here at least one of the nights, excluding tonight, over the course of the last 4 days? Would you raise your hand? All right, so hundreds of you are raising your hands. How many of you would say that God has either shown you something new or reminded you of something that you had forgotten in the days that we've been together? Okay, so you're testifying. What I would like you to do, the team's just going to play a little instrumental here for a few moments, is I would like you to journal what it is that God revealed to you, reminded you of, and how have you responded to that? For some, it might be that, you know, God showed me that I was clinging to an idol, and here's what that idol was, and I've determined to let it go and to go to God and ask Him to meet my need. For others, it might be God reminded me that I needed to love one that I wasn't loving. And here's the purpose for this. We have about 150 staff members back in Michigan that work behind the scenes to make it possible for this team and two other teams and a number of other outreaches. It's like you look at that ministry to the pastors called The Lodge. We have staff members back there who raise their own support to clean it. By the way, you know that lodge? Somebody gave that. We didn't buy it. We didn't build it. Somebody said, I want to give this resource to minister to pastors. We're just to manage it. And so we've got people back in Michigan and elsewhere, and there's been hundreds of people that have been praying for you, and we want to be able to share with them what God's been doing in your life. So we're going to gather these letters in just a moment. We're going to make a copy to send back to Michigan. We're going to hang on to a copy so we can read them to be encouraged as a team, because sometimes we wonder, are our lives making a difference? You know, you see that our team is a little short here on the platform. It's because we sent three team members home. Not because they did anything wrong, but because they're sick. And so we have three team members back at Word of Life in a cabin, quarantined. At least I hope they're quarantined, because we got to get on a bus tomorrow and drive 7 hours to North Carolina, and then the next day another couple hours to be able to start this thing all over again. And this is only one of 17 events that we have back to back to back to back. And sometimes, you know what, we wonder, did this make a difference? So we read those letters. And we share those letters. And plus, it's also a good way for you to praise God and worship Him through journaling. So just take the next 3 minutes. Simply share where God found you, what God said to you, how you've been responding. And then we'll continue on with our service. I want to go ahead and dismiss you in a moment, but before you do, would you do me a favor, pass your Dare Team letters to the inside aisles, also that resource card if you wanted more information on the ministry. We're going to collect those, and then the teens can head out, and then we're going to jump into our next message, the final message, which is entitled The Reservoir of God's Grace. If you have your booklet with you, let me encourage you to go ahead and turn there. It's The Reservoir of God's Grace. This is my favorite message to share in this series of messages. Before I do, I need to set the alarm for tonight, okay? So give me a moment. We'll be ending early tonight. That way I'm sure to make sure that I stay in line with the time frame that's allotted. You say, Ryan, what's the purpose of that? The majority of our body is made up of water. You need water to live. You cannot live apart from water. Water sustains us. But what we need to live as Christians is what I would say synonymous to water. It is the grace of God. And as this water was just depleted, the reservoir of God's grace will never be depleted. And when we think we're running low, we cry out for God's grace. And he gives us everything that we need so that we can accomplish the task that's before us. This morning, I was supposed to be on a live stream, and where we're at, the cell coverage that I have is not the best. And so I was getting very frustrated because one moment you're on, the next moment dead. One moment you're on, the next moment you're dead. So I got in my car, And I decided, let me drive down the road and see if I can still continue to be on this live stream. And, there it is. Okay, stop. And as soon as I stop, it cuts out. I drove all the way to Publix. Well, certainly Publix must have a Wi-Fi. I can tap into its Wi-Fi. I can be able to get on this. It's very important. I'm supposed to be a part of this. And I'm sitting in the parking lot. I have my wife with me. And, you know, I'm thinking about what I've been teaching you over the course of these last couple of days. And I'm really wanting to get frustrated. And I'm sitting here saying, I don't have to get frustrated. But internally, I'm having this conversation, but I want to. It would make me feel so much better. And I looked at my wife, and I just smiled, and I said, you know what I need? I need God's grace. I need God's grace to keep me from getting frustrated. And so, amazing, I just had an incredible peace. And God gave me what I needed in that moment. Was able to go through the rest of my day, take care of what I needed to do, came here for staff meeting. I love your staff. You guys got a great staff, and I don't say that in every church. As a matter of fact, I can't say that in every church that I'm in. And being with these guys has been a real joy. Luke and I just laughed yesterday with them. Great staff. Lettuce Boy over there is one of my favorites. I'm not going to say who that is, but I just really love seeing a man eat a taco and a lettuce wrap, and it was, you know. So I was here for staff meeting, and by the way, they were, well, not all of them, just one pastor was making fun of me because of, but I'm not going to mention names because I wore a paisley shirt yesterday, and so I really needed God's grace because I needed it because he was making fun of me, and I felt bad. Guess what? I didn't cry out for God's grace. I made fun of his old man, Sansa belt pants, but that's okay. So we had a great time with your staff. But as soon as I left that staff meeting, I then had to get back to the trailer because I had a three-hour conference call that I was on. And I don't know about you. I'm not one of those guys that can sit still very easily and have an earpiece in my ear and have to be on the computer and be on a conference call, but I was. And you know what I needed? I needed God's grace. So I say all of that, that where we end tonight may seem elementary, but it is paramount. It is paramount to the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Because apart from the grace of God, we're done in. God's grace sustains his children. Several passages of Scripture before we dive into the main text to build upon this concept. In Psalm 107, the scripture says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He satisfies the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. Thank you, Lord. What brings us to that place? Well, distress, weariness, pressure. Anybody who ever said, oh, just pray this prayer, your life will be easier, you'll be a Christian, and it'll all be rosy. You know, I want to find that person, and if they said that, kick them in the hindside, because that's not true. As a matter of fact, I believe if you're going to be sincere in following the Lord, your life is going to be under pressure. Because what God wants to do is he wants to reveal to a lost world how the believers respond when they are under pressure and how it looks different from a lost world that has no hope, no help, that doesn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit within them. And so why do you think your life should be void of pressure? If anything, you follow history, you read the scripture, you will look that at basically every man and woman who took and claimed the name of Christ, there was incredible pressure in their life for being a follower of Christ. And what God does is he uses this to bring us to the end of ourselves. And when we grab hold of the truth of God's word, he is going to satisfy us. This is what his word says. What is grace? I love this definition. It was thought up in our ministry. I don't know if it originated. I want to say that it was. I've been here for 20 years, but I've heard it for over 40 years in our ministry. It's this. Grace is the dynamic quality of God within me that gives me the desire and the power to live in obedience with God and his word. Now, let me show you the scripture that indicates this. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Look, you're single. I got a buddy of mine. He's longing to be married. Unfortunate circumstances. He's single. And, you know, he's at this state in his life right now where, as a 50-year-old man, he is just longing to be married again. And it's a burning desire in his. And sometimes, you know, the temptation is so great and the passion is just welling up within him that the only thing that can sustain him is when he cries out for God. God, give me the desire, give me the power to live in obedience with your word. I need you, God. I've got a niece, precious gal. Wanting to have a child, complications, almost died in a pregnancy. No child was able to come forth out of that situation. Friends around her, and she's wanting to have a baby. And it's something that she's having to surrender to the Lord in order to live in that state and find a sense of satisfaction in him. What is she having to do? She's having to cry out, God, I'm crying out for your dynamic quality within me to give me the desire and the power to live in obedience with you and your word. Help me find satisfaction without a child right now. Help me find satisfaction without a wife right now. There are men and women who come to church and I want to be careful how I say this because I'm not wanting you to hear something that I'm not saying. But right now, they're overwhelmingly putting a lot of their trust in the world system because right now, they're wanting to win the $1.5 billion lottery. And they're spending hundreds of dollars to do it with the mindset, well, I'll tithe if I win it. Whose is it? Gee, mighty generous. And when we're living in that stream of being dissatisfied, not content, I've lived there. Anybody else ever lived there? You know what discontentment is? It's just not being satisfied with what God has given you. And I want this, I want that. God, I need your dynamic quality to be alive within me that gives me the desire and the power to live in obedience with you and your word. You see, what grace is it's God at work in me. This is what we would refer to as sanctifying grace as opposed to justifying grace. You cannot have sanctifying grace if you do not initially have justifying grace. Justifying grace is the gift of salvation. Sanctifying grace is the grace, the power that keeps us living in accordance to what God said. Now, what is grace needed for? Well, look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, may abound in every good work. Note, the scripture doesn't say God wants to give you some grace so that you can have some sufficiency in some things at some times to abound in some good works. What does it say there? He's giving you all. All grace, all sufficiency in all things at all times. I remember I was preaching out in Pennsylvania. It was a trip that I took by myself. I was staying at a hotel. Pastor dropped me off, and when I got done, I walked into the lobby of the hotel. And I've lived in my life in 7 different states, 17 different cities, and 22 different homes by the time I was 21 years of age. So I moved a lot. I grew up in the bar scene because my dad owned nightclubs and restaurants and bars before he was a believer. And so I say that I have been exposed to a lot of things. And I walked into the lobby of this hotel where I was staying, and there happened to be a woman who was eyeing me. And I picked up on it right away that this woman was a prostitute, and she had singled me out as a John. And I was in that hotel, and, you know, the thought came, she's looking at me. She's not half bad. Where did that just come from? I quickly, and I'm not exaggerating, I quickly made a beeline for my hotel room, opened the door, closed the door. Before I closed the door, I saw the woman coming down the hall. I closed that door, locked that door, got on the phone. Now, whether I'm imagining it or not, that is what happened. And as I'm just even with my eyes closed, I see it happening. And I got on the phone, and I called my prayer partner. And I said, pray for me right now. Because, man, temptation is knocking at the door. And I need God's grace. Not a little bit of it. I need all of it. I live what I call a hot life, honest, open, and transparent. I live that way with my kids. The other day, my son and I, before he headed off to college, we were having a conversation, and he said, Dad, I failed with my eyes. There was just something that I shouldn't have seen. And in light of that, I took care of business, but I want you to know that. I'm so thankful for a relationship that I can have with my son, and he can share that with me. But one of the reasons why he was able to share that is because he knows a father who struggles or who is tempted. I shouldn't say struggle, but tempted. What are you tempted in? How many of you blew up today? Cut somebody off, got irritated, murmured under your breath, gossip, grumbled. How many of you closed your ears and closed your heart? How many got angry? How many got some news today that wasn't pleasing? We all are put under the vice. We need God's grace. This grace is available all the time. There's nothing that keeps us other than ourselves from going and getting all this grace so that we can do every good work. What are you struggling with your mate? You know that God's given you everything that you need for every good work in your relationship as a husband and wife? What are you struggling with your child or with your parent? You know that God has given you every good thing so that you could have a relationship that reflects His glory? You see, I tell people, God's not set you up to fail. He set you up to succeed. Now, when I tell them what it requires, that's up to you whether you succeed or fail. Most people will choose to fail because they don't want to take the steps that are necessary to receiving all of God's grace for all things, which is humility, which is brokenness. You see, grace is needed for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. This beautiful of justifying grace comes from the Lord. You need it for salvation. You need grace for suffering. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." People say, man, did you get mad at God for being hospitalized all those times and going through all those surgeries and having to have that ileostomy? And I said, you know, listen, I don't get mad at God. And I've come to a place where I've been able to accept that. And then I say this, I've actually come to a place where I've been able to thank God for it. Well, what do you mean thank God for it? Because what God allowed me to experience has given me an open door to be able to minister to others. The scripture says, the comfort with which he comforted you in all of your afflictions, he now wants you to use to go comfort others who are in the same affliction with which you were in. And it allows us now to empathize. I met a man at Word of Life the other day. He blessed me. We were talking, and he said, oh, I worked here for X number of decades, and now I'm in a grief ministry. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, yeah, you know, I used to teach on grief and preach on grief, but my wife passed away, and I didn't realize how difficult it was in losing my wife, even preaching and teaching on grief. And God's given me an entirely different perspective on this thing, and now I have this ministry where I'm able to actually help people walk through grief and the loss of a loved one. He didn't waste that opportunity. Do you look at it as being an opportunity?
That's an opportunity. God can keep it.
We need God's grace in relationship to strength. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What are you facing? He's going to give you the strength for it. And then this whole thing called sanctification, Philippians 1:6 says this, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." This is that sanctifying grace. God is wanting to take whatever situation that we're in and use it for his glory if we will simply allow him to. And the way that we do that is simply by humbling and bowing ourselves before him. I believe one of the reasons why we don't see a great movement of revival in the Church of America today is because the Church of America is too proud. If the church is a reflection of people, could it be then that the reason why we don't see the power of God in families is because the family's too proud? And in marriage, because we or our mate are too proud? In our own life, because I or you are too proud? See, let's take it back. It's easy to make a finger gesture at a group, but we are the group. Humility should go before us. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me. That's all leading up to the foundation of this passage in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Again, I've said this, I think, every night. There was a man who was my mentor. I was ordained under his ministry, Dr. Bobby Moore, Olive Branch, Mississippi. Bobby was one of the most godliest men that I'd ever met. Bobby spent a minimum of 2 hours a day in prayer, uninterrupted. His morning usually began at about 4:30, and that was the first thing that he did. And I remember going to Bobby's house one day, and he took me into his prayer closet, and he said, "Ron, I want you to see something there." And there was a picture of my wife and me and our kids. And then he said, "Ryan, I want you to know," he wasn't looking at any piece of paper. He said, "I want you to know I'm praying for Margo, I'm praying for Shauna, I'm praying for Austin, I'm praying for Holly, I'm praying for Krista, I'm praying for Sammy," and he knows them all by name. This man was a man of God. And whenever I had a problem, I'd call him, and he wasn't quick to speak, but he was quick to listen. And then he would say something like this, "Ryan, how much time are you spending in the Word?" "Bobby, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, Ryan, how much time have you spent in the Word? Ryan, how much time are you spending in prayer?" And my mentor's Bible was well worn. It just was all marked up. My wife made a comment to me. Somebody shared this with her a couple conferences back. She said, "A Bible that's usually falling apart is a reflection of a person who's got it all together." Something to that effect. They're not falling apart. God has all the answers that we need. There's not a single issue in this scripture that we can't find a remedy to. And I say that, how are you going to tell a generation the wonderful things that God says and does if you don't have even an intimate connect with a God that you proclaim that you love? Write in your Bibles. Mark them up. Underline them. Put your tears there. One of the greatest things that I have that's just a little treasure, an earthly treasure, is my mom and dad's Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Is this not a beautiful passage of Scripture? It was 1980. We were living in Dallas, Texas. I'll share a little bit about my dad. My dad was, he didn't do everything legally. My dad did a lot of illegal things. One of the reasons why I lived in 7 states, 17 cities, and 21 different homes was because my dad was in organized crime. As a matter of fact, my family name isn't really Loving, which is the last name that I have. The family name is Levy, L-E-V-Y, a little more Jewish. But my dad was wanted by the FBI. My dad was being pursued by the mob. On more than 2 occasions, we ended up having to leave our homes in the middle of the night. And we left everyone and everything behind. It was interesting, in Dallas, when this situation that I'm about to share with you took place, my eldest brother was a police officer in the community outside of where we were living called Garland, Texas. My brother saw that there was a warrant out for my mom and for my dad. And at the same time, my dad was at the end of his rope. He actually tried to check out of life, and I shared this with you earlier. He took a bottle of pills, took a fifth of EO, attempted to end his life, checked into a hotel right outside DFW, consumed both of them, did not die, woke up the following morning and called my mom and said, pack up, we're leaving. At which point in time, my brother, the police officer off duty at this point in time, came to the house, had a .357 in the glove box, had a .22 wrapped around his ankle, and escorted us out of town. And we left and we went to Europe, leaving family and everything behind. Now, I shared with you that I had a special needs brother. Scott was 8 years older than me. I'm a teenager, young teenager at this time, and I'm responsible for Scott in London while my mom and dad spend the afternoon in the hotel. My dad puts some money in my hands and he says, go out on the town and have a day. I'm 13 years old in London with my special needs brother. So I'm like, okay. So we end up at Buckingham Palace. And we take a tour of Buckingham Palace. And I'm going somewhere with this. We come into the throne room. Incredible throne room. And the one who sits upon that throne wields the power. She says, this, you do this. She says, no, it's no. She says, yes, it's yes. She is the ultimate authority. Get a picture of God's throne room. Get a picture of God's power. Get a picture of God's authority. When you approach the throne, there's a sense of reverence, of awe. You're not cocky, conceited, or arrogant. You're humbled that you even have the opportunity to be in the presence of the one that can grant you whatever it is that you want and need. Queen Elizabeth summoned you, how would you approach that throne room? How would you approach her? And how casually and carelessly and arrogantly do we approach the throne room of God? Or live with such an independent mindset that we don't even think about the throne room of God. You are his beloved child. He wants you to succeed. He doesn't want you to fail, but he wants you to succeed in accordance with the truth of his word. And he's going to bless your obedience. He's going to give you whatever it is that you need to face tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Why would he want you to fail? Now, success might not look like what you want it to look like, but God's going to give you the grace to be able to experience it. Look, in one short period of time, I got a phone call in the course of one day. My dad has a heart attack. He's on his way to the hospital. His defibrillator went off, and he was dying. That same afternoon, I get a phone call about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. My wife picks it up, and I hear on the other phone, oh my, what? What? He died? And I rush into the kitchen, and I said to her, honey, my dad died? And she goes, no, my dad just died pulling out of church. God gave me the grace and gave her the grace for the heart attack that my dad died or had, and the grace for my father-in-law who died. And then within that short period of time, my dad died, and then my brother-in-law died, and then my brother died, and then my mom died, and then my mother-in-law died, and then my best friend, one of my closest friends, died. Did it go down the way that I wanted it to go? I don't think I would have played it out that way. I didn't want to have the dominoes go ding, 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 ding. I have two sons. My youngest son is here. He's the last one of the bunch. He's the baby of the family. I'm the baby of the family. Pretty cool. We're both the babes. We prayed that Marianne would be able to get pregnant. We prayed that God would give us twins. We prayed that God would give us twin boys. The reason being is that we had more girls than boys, and we didn't want our oldest boy to be outnumbered, so we thought, hey, to make things even, let's just see. Can we pray that way? Marianne's pregnant with twins. Marianne's pregnant with male twins. But only one of my boys sits here that's the youngest, because the other one didn't survive. Did it go down the way that we wanted it? No. But was God's grace there at the throne, ready to be dispensed? Yeah. See, we all have a wonderful story to share and tell one generation to the next generation the glorious things that God has done. We have the capacity to worship God beyond songs, beyond singing. It's with our life. How are you living it? So what do we do with this passage of Scripture? What do we do at the conclusion of our conference? Well, living and operating in the grace of God requires this: humility. Four things. If you're willing to humble yourself, God's grace will be dispensed upon you. It requires a desire. The desire to live in obedience with the truth of His word. It desires power. Not our power, but the power of God to reign within us. See, you really want to have the blessing of God? Humility, desire, power, and obedience must be evident in your life. Not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Grace is the dynamic quality of God that gives me the desire and the power to live in obedience to God and His word. So how does this live out? Well, here's your life in action. It would look like this. Humble yourself. Simply pray, Lord, I humble myself in your presence. I acknowledge my need. Strengthen me. Empower me. Fill me with your power for your glory. If Faith Baptist Church endeavors to be the church that God has called it to be, then it will be, and it will be because we're crying out for His grace. That's the capping stone on this week. It doesn't get any greater than that. It's you coming to God. John, come on up here. I want to give an invitation tonight. By the way, you see John here. John and I, over the course of the last 2 years, have become buds, and I love this guy. He doesn't walk with a cane for effect. He walks with a cane because of an illness that he has that has caused his leg to break, what is it, 17 times? 14 times? And you know what he needs to go from day to day? Grace. Tonight, when we pack up, being short, we just found another team member that kind of, so we sent him away right now. We need God's grace to be able to pack up and move on down the road. We all need grace every moment of every day.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.